Luke chapter 12, we are busy with a series called Lost, and it's about looking at our personal finances. And we've learned a couple of things here. One is, it is easy to get lost financially, isn't it? Okay, really easy for that to happen. And we've learned that getting financially lost is not necessarily about how much money you earn. In other words, you can earn a lot of money and be lost financially. You can earn a little bit of money and you can be lost financially. But it's a lot more about knowing where your money goes. Okay, that's very important. Now, let's see if we've grown from last week. And the challenge in week one was to find a way to write down everything that you spend to be able to figure out where does the money go, because that's the first step. Okay, we learned that the opposite of loss is not being found. The opposite of loss is knowing where you are and knowing how to move from where you are to where you need to be. So I know the first week we didn't do too well at that. I just want to see if we grew at all. Who of us are still recording sort of all our expenditures? Okay, we've grown a little bit. Okay, but we still got a bit of a way to go. So obviously the idea is, the first thing I need to figure out is I need to be able to figure out where I am so that I know where it is that I need to go to. The second thing is that I need to learn to look at my money from a godly perspective. Okay, in other words, I need to look at it through God's lens. And that's what we did last week. We took a step back and we said, okay, how does God view money? And we saw that God views money, for one, as a tool. He sees money as a great tool to be able to help people get to know Him. Secondly, we saw that God views money as a trust. In other words, He gives us money as a test in many ways. To see, listen, I'm going to give you X amount of money, and I want to see what you do with it. I want to see if you are faithful with it. And if you are faithful with it on this side, in this world, then He says He'll give us great riches in the life to come. We don't know what those great riches are, but we know that He'll give it to us. And the third thing that we realize is that God sees it as a trademark. In other words, to know who belongs to Him. So those that serve money obviously belongs to money, and those that serve Him belongs to Him. So that's just sort of a 5-minute recap from where we are. Before we jump into Luke chapter 12, let me just welcome some out-of-town guests. We are visiting from Gaborone, Botswana, Mthusi, Joyce, and Lesego. And then also we have Werner and Madeleine visiting from the East region in Johannesburg. Can you guys please stand? Let's just welcome them to Cape Town. Great to have you guys here. Today, we're going to take a look at this, is what is our view of money? Now, it's last week, we looked at what was God's view of money. Today, the question is, what is our view of money? In order to understand our view of money, though, there is a very important question that we need to ask ourselves. And what makes this question so important, that is, if you ask this question and you understand this question, it might just lead you out of being lost financially into a place of knowing what you're doing with your finances and where it should be going. Here's the question, the very important question. Why do you have so much? Why do you have so much? Why do you have more than you need? Why do you have extra? That is the question we need to ask ourselves. If I want to understand what is my view of money, I need to ask myself this question. Why do I have so much? Why do I have more than I need? Why do I have extra? Now, a number of us are most probably thinking right now, are you mad? Extra? I don't have extra. I want and need a lot more than what I have right now. As a matter of fact, I actually feel a lot of financial pressure. But why? Why do you feel so much pressure? Isn't it true that often we feel so much financial pressure because our lifestyle keeps on chasing our income? And that as my income increases, my lifestyle chases. My income increases, and my lifestyle chases. My income increases, and my lifestyle chases. And as my lifestyle keeps on chasing my income, where does it lead to? It leads to pressure. Isn't it true also that for most of us, not all of us, but most of us, isn't it true that if we were to take down our lifestyle just a couple of notches, if we were to maybe move into just a bit of a smaller home, drive a bit of it, just a cheaper car, maybe just let go of some of those conveniences that we feel we so desperately need. Isn't it true that if we were to just let go of some of that, and not even a lot, if we would just take it down a couple of notches and gain margin, isn't it true that then we won't feel that much pressure? Isn't it true also then that we'll have extra? Which then brings me to my original question. So why do you have extra? Why do we have more than we need? Why is it that most of us, not all of us, but most of us have been able to escalate our lifestyle over the past 10 years? Now that question, I know, does not sit too well with us. And the reason it doesn't sit well with us is because the culture that we live in asks a completely different question. The culture that we live in asks this question: why don't I have more? The culture that we live in says, why don't I have as much as him? Why don't I have as much as her? Why can't I live in one of those? Why can't I drive in one of those? Why can't I have one of those? Why can't I wear what they have? We live in a culture that is constantly saying to us, do not focus on what you do have. Focus on what you believe you could have or even should have. Today, though, I want us to focus on, even if it's just for our time together, and you can go back to normal afterwards, why do I have extra? Now, luckily for us, Jesus answers this question and this story in Luke chapter 12. We're going to read and we're going to see what we can learn from that. Now, I hear an echo. Do I echo to you guys? You don't hear the echo. Why do I hear the echo? Okay, maybe it's age. I'll move around a bit. See if the echo goes away. Luke chapter 12. Jesus answers this question as to why do we have extra, and I believe his answer applies to most, if not all of us in here, but especially to those whose lifestyle keeps on chasing their income. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Says, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So someone died, left money, and this man feels like he got cheated out of his share of that inheritance. Verse 14, Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. He's talking about greed. This man was just asking, hey, I just need some help here. I just want him to just share the fair share of the inheritance with me. Why are you talking about greed? Jesus obviously knew that there was something more to it. So it says, watch out with an exclamation mark. Why? I mean, when you say watch out, you say, watch out, there's a car coming. Watch out, you know, South Africa, a guy wants to stab you. there's a warning. Why the warning? Because greed can be very subtle. And greed is almost impossible to see in the mirror. It is easy to see greed in someone else. Who of us knows some greedy people? Okay? It is easy to see it in someone else, but it's a lot harder to see it in the mirror. I can see a number of other things in the mirror. I can see my pride in the mirror. I can see my selfishness in the mirror. I can see when I'm not loving, I can see in the mirror. When I'm not kind, I can see in the mirror. A lack of patience, I can see in the mirror, but not greed. I've been in the full-time ministry about 17 years, or just over 17 years. I don't think in 17 years I've ever sat with someone where someone said to me, listen here, Werner, I just want to be open about something. I realize that I am greedy. In 17 years, I've never heard anyone say that. But yet all of us put up a hand. We know someone, and I believe many of those someones that we know are sitting in this room. Greedy people would rather say things like, it's not that I'm greedy, I just really needed it. I did not choose it, it chose me. It's just, you know what, it's not that I'm greedy, I just want to enjoy life. It's not that I'm a consumer, but you have to understand, it was on special. Why don't we just say it as it is? Why don't we just say, you know what? I'm greedy. Jesus' advice on greed is, he says, watch out. Verse 15. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. In other words, your life does not equate what you own. Your life does not equate what you own. You are not the label that you wear, the car that you drive, the neighborhood that you live in. We know that intellectually. But yet we get sucked into it emotionally. I'm sure if there were aliens and they were to visit our planet, and they did not understand our language, they might come to the conclusion that the human race must purchase and consume to live. I think they'll go back to their planet, and they will say, we have watched them, and what they do is they make it and spend it. Make it and spend it. Make it and spend it. And apparently, if they were to stop making it and spending it, we believe they will die. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We know it intellectually, but we so easily slip into it emotionally. He then goes on and he tells this amazing parable in verse 16. Says, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man. What kind of man? A rich man. Who's rich? A rich man is someone who has more than they need. A rich man is someone who has abundance. A rich man is someone who has extra. Verse 16. The ground of a rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. He has a real dilemma at hand. And our hearts go out to him. He has an above average crop. But he doesn't have enough room to store it. Now that's a problem. At first he had extra. Now he had extra extra. And he didn't have room to store it. Can you imagine the pressure that he must have faced? So why do you think that God gave him all of that extra, extra, that abundance on abundance? Could it perhaps be that maybe God just gave it to him so that he could share it? But let's not be judgmental on the poor man. Remember that it is hard to see greed in the mirror. We can see it in him, but not in ourselves. And we can only assume that he struggled with the same thing. He could see it in us, but not in himself. So he's stuck with this dilemma. All this crop. Nowhere to store it. What shall he do? And he comes up with a plan. Verse 18. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. Ah, great, great plan. Break down my bonds, build bigger ones. He's clever. He should write a book. This is the kind of guy that we need to imitate. This is the kind of guy who has what we want. He was wealthy and then got even wealthier. Isn't he the goal to get more and more and more? Isn't that the dream? Isn't that who we want to be? Isn't that who we want to learn from? Of course it is. He's the goal. He's the dream right here. We want to live like him. So he breaks down, tears down his perfectly good bonds to build bigger ones where he could now store his extra. Verse 19. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Clever. He planned for the future. The only problem was that he didn't plan far enough out. He planned to take care of himself. He just didn't plan to take care of himself far enough out. And that was the fatal flaw in his thinking. He thought to himself, since I have X number of years worth of stuff, I should have X number of years worth of life. Because apparently my life equates the abundance of my possessions. So I'm going to make sure that nothing bad happens to me. I'm going to make sure that I'm prepared. I'm going to make sure that I have extra. Because does life not equal the abundance of your possessions? That's what he thought. He thought the extra was for him. He thought that the abundance was for him. But look at verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool!" Wait a minute. God, he's not a fool. He's the goal. He's the model. He's the dream. He's what is to be emulated. He is what life is all about. He is the guy we all want to be, who we all dream of. He had a lot, and he got even more. He planned a great future for himself. What do you mean, a fool? Verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And the answer to that is, two words, somebody else will get what you have prepared. Somebody else is going to get everything that you owned. And they're not going to get it because you were generous. They're going to get it because you are dead. Somebody else is going to get everything that you stored up. Not because you thought of them, but because you died. See, O wise farmer, just as you have no control over your crop, because you do not control the rain, the weather, or the elements, in the same way, you have no control over the years given to you. And he made three wrong assumptions. Number one, he assumed that he was the source of all of his extra. He assumed that it was him. He did not think that it was God that gave him that ability or God that controlled the elements. He assumed that it was him that was the source of the extra. Number two, he assumed that the extra was for him. And number three, he made the fatal flaw of thinking that the abundance of stuff would equal an abundance of years. And God is saying to him, you were wrong on all three accounts. So, what is the moral of the story? Verse 21. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. This is how it will be. Now, what is the this referring to? Is this that if you're not rich towards God, that you will die? No, because everyone will die. Is the this that you would suddenly die? No, because my guess would be then some of us would be dead. What is the this? The this is that this wealthy man experienced total loss. He lost everything in this world. He lost the opportunity to be rich towards God. He lost the opportunity to have something to show for it in the world to come. It was a total and complete loss. He says this total and complete loss will be experienced by everyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Jesus says, do you know what this guy's problem was? It wasn't that he was rich. It wasn't even that he had extra. It was that he didn't know why he had extra. He thought that it was for him and therefore missed the opportunity to be rich towards God. So, that leaves us with another important question. What does it mean to be rich towards God? What does it mean to be wealthy towards God? What does it mean to be lavish towards God, generous towards God? Isn't it true that to be rich towards God means that I'm rich towards the things that matter to Him? Which brings us to another question. What matters to Him? As you read the Bible, you'll see that there's predominantly two things that matter to God. Number one is the need of others. In verse 33, further down, he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Like he says, give to the poor. It's important to God. You see, Jesus constantly, as he's moving through in the Gospels, what does he do? He's meeting the needs of the poor. He's helping the poor. He's healing people. He's feeding people. He's looking after people. Now, let me ask a question. Who of us, this is something completely different, who of us likes chocolate? Okay, quite a couple of chocolate lovers here. Who of us loves chocolate? Not like, love. Okay, a couple of chocolate lovers here. Okay, who of us loves Lindt chocolate? Okay, a number of us. Okay, Yolanda, why don't you come up on stage here? Lindt chocolate. You can have a seat here, so just sit you comfortable. Lindt chocolate. This is awesome stuff. My favorite is the red one. What's your favorite?
The white one.
The white one. Which color is that?
It's like gold.
Gold. This one over here. This one. There we go. This one. Oh, man. Oh. You know, well, it's okay. I prefer the red. No, it makes the chocolate so nice. It's got a nice crust, and she loves this stuff. Nice crust on the outside, but on the inside. Can you feel it? I don't get a lot of opportunity to eat this stuff. I mean, it's usually on a birthday or on Sierra Bar or whatever. But if you think when you grew up and you think of your parents, and usually when you maybe had two or more of something and your brother or sister would have nothing, what would they say? Share. Share if you've got all in chocolate. True. If other kids come over to play and you have 10 of something and they have nothing, what does your parents say? Share. Now, isn't there something in you that just wants to say, come on, man. Share. Well, now we know that she loves this. So what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
We can say a prayer for her. Close your eyes with me. Father, we pray for Yolanda that really loves this chocolate. And we pray that somehow one day you'll meet her need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Yolanda, remember, Jesus loves you. Don't give up. Someday, your day will come. Now, when you get a lot of this stuff in, it's quite hectic. I think God, I'm going to swallow this last one. I think God looks at the earth and what he sees is he sees people with chocolate, people with extra, and he sees those that have none. And he's saying, I think God is looking at it and saying, why do you think I gave you that extra? Because there on the other side is someone that has none. But we are saying, I have this extra so that the life that I live, that I can continue to chase it, that as my income increases, I'll take that extra and all that I'll do is I'll just close the gap, close the gap, close the gap, close the gap. But what I'll do, because I'm a good Christian, is I'll pray for you, Linda. And I'll pray that God will meet her needs. God says, no, be rich towards her. So let's give Yolanda for sitting up here. It seems like I ate most of the gold. What is your second favorite color? The red. Now she wants to take my red. Let's give her a couple of Lindt chocolates here. Man, this stuff is sweet. Share. Okay, one say. Here we go, here we go. And to the teen side. This is... Okay, this side didn't get any. Let's give the last two. Let's see how far I can throw. So, why do I have extra? Extra to give to those in need. Now, here's something interesting. There is something even more important to God than those in physical need. Even more important. And it's funny, my guess is that for most of us, if we were to feel guilty about not giving, it would be we feel guilty about not giving to the poor, right? But something that's even more important to God is the furtherance of the gospel throughout the world. There's this fascinating passage in Mark chapter 1 where we see Jesus healing the sick. And it gets to a point in time where he's in a house and it says that the whole town gathered outside of his house and he healed everyone that was there. He slept the night, went out to pray the morning, And then it says this in Mark chapter 1, verse 36. It says, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Everyone's needs need to be met. The poor need to be fed. They need to be healed. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. That is why I have come. So that people can hear the gospel. So that people can know what it means to be my disciple. So that people can get that free gift that Barnes spoke of earlier. That is why I have come. Why do we have extra if we narrow down our life? If we just scale down just a little bit, not even a lot. If I scale down, why do I have extra? So the gospel can be furthered. Once a minister went up to the congregation like this, and he said, I got good news, and I got bad news. So what do you want to hear first? Just says the good news. Says good news is this. We have enough money for missions. We can support other churches. Not only do we have money for that, we also have money to hire a youth minister. And we also have money to hire a campus minister. And we also have money to upgrade our facility. And churches, amen, awesome, preacher, pastor, preacher. What's the bad news? So the bad news is that money is still in your pocket. Why do you have extra? To be rich towards God. And this is very important. To be rich towards God first. First. If you want to get out of your financial stress, here's how it works. First, give to God. Second, save. Third, live on the rest. Give to God, save, live on the rest. Give to God, save, live on the rest. And I need to adjust my life to what the rest is. Not give to God and his causes, whether it be the poor or the advancement of his kingdom, lost with whatever is left. When we start prioritizing that way, and when we start thinking about it that way, and we say, listen, why do I have extra? I have extra so that I can first and foremost give to God and the things that he believes in, meeting the needs of others, furthering the gospel, meeting the needs of others, furthering the gospel. We should write that inside of our eyeballs. When I get an increase, when I get a bonus, I don't know about you, but what tends to happen with me is I've spent it before I got it. Even if not physically, then just in my mind, this is what we can do. This is what we can do. This is what we can do. This is where we can go. Finally, we can do this. Finally, we can do that. The first thing that should come into my mind is, I can meet the needs of others. We can further the gospel. Meet the needs of others. Further the gospel. Save. Live on the rest. God, save. Live on the rest. Now, can you imagine what your financial picture would have looked like today if you've lived like this for the last 5 to 10 years. If for the last 5 to 10 years you have stopped chasing your income with your lifestyle. If for the last 5 to 10 years, every time that you got an increase, every time that something happened to you financially, the first thing you thought of, now remember it said, store up things for himself, and was not. This guy still... Jesus didn't say he shouldn't have had anything. But he wasn't rich towards God. God wasn't first. Can you imagine what your financial picture would look like today if you've just lived like that for 5 years? 10 years? Imagine 20 years if I thought that way. Well, man, every time I'm not going to chase it, I'm not going to chase it. I'm going to be rich towards God. So, I want to leave us with this one question. And like I said, even if you just think about it just in our time together. This is the question. Your view of money. What is your view of money? You can answer that by answering this question. Why do I have more than I need. Why do I have extra? Let's close with a prayer.